last week, we began a new series called All In. Somebody say All In. And if we're really all in, we talked about surrendering all. It starts with surrendering all, everything that we have. But everybody understands this, whenever we surrender everything to Him, eventually the things that matter to the most to us begin to change. When we surrender all, everything begins to reprioritize in our lives because of what we surrendered to Him. And I gotta be honest with you, I'm really good at making lists of priorities. Anybody have a list of your priorities? No, okay, well, let's start there. because if I was gonna list out the people in my life that have the priority, my wife would be right there at the top. I mean, like number one person in my life that has the priority in my life. And if I'm gonna be honest with you, there's been times where she's been talking to me, she was engaged in conversation with me. I might have even been looking at her and nodding my head, saying the right things. Yes, dear. Yes, dear. Whatever you say, dear. Right? Right? Thank you very much. But even though I was present, my attention is somewhere else. My attention was at work, or at church, or figuring out a problem, or thinking about the next thing I was gonna do. My presence was there, but my attention wasn't. The truth is, she's maybe the most important one in my life, but my priority, even though I say it was her, isn't lived out the same way. I can genuinely love my wife, I can love my family. I can love God. I can make them the most highest priority I can imagine. But what's revealing is not necessarily the priority list that I've written down, but the way, in fact, that I live my life. That's what reveals my real priorities. You can know the right answer like I do. And if I were gonna ask everybody in here to list your priorities, we'd probably all have about the same list. If you have made the decision to love God with your life, to trust God with your life, your priorities might look like God first. Anybody say God's your first priority? Okay, good. I'm glad that we're kind of warming up here. And then you might say your spouse, and then you might say your kids, and then you might say church or work, and on the list would go. And we can all know the right answer, but the way that we live is actually the thing that reveals the way that we actually prioritize our life. It's revealed by the way we live. We can say our marriage matters, but then when we come from home from work and we're tired, we've been busy the whole day, we're just giving our spouse whatever is left over of us. We can come home and walk in and the kids are like running around like crazy people. Oh, look at me, look at me, look at me. and you can barely look up to see anything else, right? You can be so busy with everything else that eventually your priorities start scooting back and taking second or third or fourth place in your life. We can say God comes first, while we give Him whatever else is left in our schedules. And usually it doesn't happen with one decision. It doesn't happen in one moment. It's just subtle over time. Eventually, when we say, God, you're the first priority of my life, but then life goes on and the phone rings and the notification hits your phone and then an emergency comes up and then you got a pop-up school meeting and then you got another meeting over here and you got this over here and you got that over there, and eventually everything that you never would allow to be the top priority of your life ends up being lived out as the top priority of your lives. Meanwhile, the things that matter most to you end up getting the least amount of you. Right. And if we don't choose our priorities intentionally, I want you to know that the world's gonna choose them for you. Right. If you don't make a decision for Jesus in your heart and your life, then somebody else is gonna come along and make a decision that they are more important than anything else. And if you don't believe me, just wait a little while, because it's gonna happen. If we can say, Jesus, you have all of me, while quietly decided that we're going to hold on to the right to schedule our calendars. We're going to put our hands up and worship to Jesus while quietly holding on our right to decide whether we're going to forgive somebody or not. We can say, Jesus, you have all of my checkbook, but we're not going to give you our tithe. We can say, Jesus, you have all of my family, but we're not going to trust Jesus to help us with our kids. We can say, Jesus, I'm just trusting you with eternity. But meanwhile, we have trouble trusting Jesus with what tomorrow brings. It's difficult. And so instead of asking what matters most to us, we should be asking, what does our life say matters most to us? What does our life say matters most? Amen. If we're going to talk about priorities, we have to ask the question, who gets to decide what matters? Yeah. Because, you know, if I'm going to be honest with you, sometimes the people that decide what matters are the people that are the loudest in my life, because that's the thing that I want to stop. Right? And I have some loud kids, and if you don't believe me, wait until after service. You'll probably meet them accidentally in the hall as they run past you. Okay? We're working on it. There's some loud things that happen in lives. There's a loud people that want your attention, want your time, want your focus, want your money, want your energy, even want your emotional energy. They want that. And if you don't make a decision to trust the Lord, for the Lord to be your priority, everything else will become that. And if we're going to surrender to Jesus, the urgency of life shouldn't be what matters most. Jesus gets to decide what matters most. You know, in Matthew chapter 22, the religious leaders of the day were trying to trap Jesus and with asking these questions and challenging his authority in front of everybody. And in fact, one of the religious leaders of the law, they came up and they wanted to ask Jesus a question to put a trap in. We're going to dive right there in our text in Matthew chapter 22, verse 34. Through 36. But when the Pharisees heard that he had silenced the Sadducees with his reply, they met together to question him again. One of them, an expert in religious law, tried to trap him with this question. Now, I want to pause really quickly. I want you to listen to this question. Because what you're going to hear is going to echo through your week all the time. And it may not be in this form, but I'll show you really quickly what it's going to sound like. Here's the question. Teacher, which is the most important commandment in the law of Moses? Now, chances are in a room this size, actually, there's probably nobody that's driven down the road debating in their mind which is the most important law of Moses this week. Am I right? I mean, that's not usually something that we're going to think about. And this religious leader, he was not saying which is the most important commandment. He was saying which is the most important law. And the Pharisees, they taught the law to the people. But what we need to understand is the law is there's like 613 laws on the books here. And the religious leader is saying, you know there's 613 laws. Which one of them is the most important to you? And it's a trap for Jesus because if Jesus says one, then he's going to debate the other. If Jesus says this, he's going to say that. He's going to question his faithfulness to the law of God. And Jesus, instead of falling into a trap, he just gets right to the heart of the thing. Because many of us drive down the street, we're not debating on which one is the most important law. We're trying to say, okay, God, you have all my life, but what's the most important thing for me to do right now? Where should my time, talent, and energy be right now? Lord, you are the most important thing in my life, but my kids need this, and my wife needs this, and my job needs this, and my neighbors need this, and all of this need, and I've got to be good in every place. Are you kidding me? Lord, if I'm going to be honest with you, I don't want to do anything for anybody. I want to go get back on the couch. I want to pull the cover up over my head. I want to take a nice long nap. And when I wake up, I'm going to have some sweet tea. Come on, Jesus. Don't tell me God's not in that. Sometimes the most spiritual thing you could do is just go take a nap. That's going to be my biggest amen today. Lord, what gets my priority in the list of all these good things in my life that you want me to do? What gets me? What do you want me to do? And for everybody that's ever asked that question, he answers it right here when Jesus replied, you must love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, and all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. And a second is equally important. Love your neighbor as yourself. The entirety of the law and all the demands of the prophets are based on these two commandments. That's what Jesus said. He didn't get tripped up. He didn't get trapped in a situation or a circumstance. Who could argue with that? You see, he came down to the very basis of the most important two relationships for anybody to experience. Love God with everything completely and love people intentionally. He's not adding two things in a list of 613 things. He's not adding two things to a list of your 10 things already. He's not adding another to-do list or another activity or another religious thing or another place to serve. He's not trying to create something in your calendar hoping that you're going to accept the calendar invite. He is saying these are the things that control everything in your life. That's what reorganizes the whole list. Loving God and loving people. And then it becomes the fact that I love my wife and my family the way God wants me to love my wife and my family. The fact that I'm dedicated to my work because God wants me to be dedicated to my work. The fact that I'm going to be a good neighbor to the person on my right and on my left and my block and the person that I meet at the gas station and the person that is in front of me trying to count coupons at Walmart. You know they need Jesus. And we're going to be good neighbors to these people. Why? Because that's what Jesus wants from us. He's not sitting there with his fingers crossed hoping that he can kind of level up on your priority list. Jesus is the priority list. Period. And that brings us to an interesting point. Everything finds its proper place when the most important thing is actually the most important thing. So number one, I want you to understand this. Love God completely. Somebody say, love God completely. There's this little word that Jesus uses in this passage that is so important to me. If you guys have been around here long enough, you know what this word is. The word is all. Somebody say all. Oh man, I love the word all, because if you understood the Greek and the Hebrew like I do, you would understand the nuance with that word all, because the word all actually in the Greek and the Hebrew means, there it is. You guys been studying. The word all means all. He's not adding, he's saying all. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind. And that word all doesn't leave much room for compartmentalization. It doesn't. And that's a pity, because as a people, we're really good with dividing our lives into categories. You see, we have a work life and a church life and a home life and a kid life. We have a personal life. We have a financial life. We have all sorts of different lives. And we're going to show up, and maybe our priorities are different in each one of those aspects of our lives. And somewhere buried inside of all of those is a spiritual life. And we can start thinking about God as one part of our lives, maybe even the most important part. We can give him our Sundays. We can give him a certain time of the week. We can pray before our meals. We can turn to him when we're struggling. We can worship him. We can believe in him. We can genuinely love him. But if Jesus says he wants to be all of our life, we can't just say we're going to make sure that he gets the good parts. He says, love him with all. And that's a completely different kind of relationship, because if I love God with all of my heart, then he has something to say about my very heart's desires. If I love him with all of my soul, then it means that he gets to decide my very identity of who I am. If we say that, if he says that he wants us to love him with all of my mind, then we have to understand that every thought is held under the lordship of Jesus Christ. All means all. Jesus is asking to become a priority that is competing in our space with other priorities. He's saying, I want to be the priority that shapes every other priority in your life. We come up with this list, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, and he says, don't think about it as a list. Put me at the center, and everything radiates out from that. And maybe that's the first thing that has to change when we say we want to go all in with Jesus. God doesn't just move higher. He reorders the whole list to revolve around him. Matthew 22, 37, Jesus replied, you must love the Lord with all your heart, all your soul, with all your mind. Something we need to understand is Jesus is not just coming up with this off the cuff. He's not just shooting from the hip. He's not just trying to get out of trouble. He's actually quoting the Old Testament. He goes back into Deuteronomy chapter 6, and he quotes from the Shema. It's one of the foundational beliefs of all the Israelites, and they pray the Shema. I want to read this to you. This is what God commanded. It says, listen, O Israel, the Lord is our God, the Lord alone. And you must love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, and all your strength. I want you to notice the order in this. Before God tells Israel how to love him, he tells Israel, he reminds Israel who he is. He is the Lord, their God, the Lord alone. You see, Israel was not just on an island somewhere. Israel was in the middle of an area that had tons of other gods, pagan gods, tons of other beliefs, tons of other cultures, tons of other languages. All of these things were competing for the interest and the attention and the passion and the persuasion of Israel. And God interjects himself into the midst of it all, and he says, listen, you're going to love me. Because I am your God, I alone. And then he tells them how to love. And I believe that he's speaking that to you and I this morning, because you and I are not just islands on our own. We're floating through life, and we are all around these other competing interests, these other competing gods, these other competing good things in our lives, these other competing cultures, and everything is vying for our attention, vying for our participation, and vying to be number one in our lives. And he's speaking to us, and he's saying, I am your God, and only me. I'm your God, and only me. And just like Israel had to decide, you and I have to decide here today. Is God going to be a part of our life, or is God going to be all of it? Yeah. Are we going to have idols in our lives and God's just going to be another God? Or he's going to be the God, capital T, capital G-O-D, God? Because at some point in your life, you're going to have to make a decision if God is actually going to control everything or not. And that decision, I pray, is today. Heart, soul, and mind aren't just technical points on a diagram where we need to reference what is it to be all of our heart, all of our soul, all of our mind. See, the language that is being used here is trying to pile up to make one extraordinary point that it is everything about us. All of us loves God. Before doing, before serving, before giving, before leading, before all of our ministry, we are to love God. Amen. He doesn't merely just want to add to the religious activity. He wants to be the religious activity. He wants all of us. And as I look across this room, I would venture to say that most of us have a relationship with the Lord. I don't know where your relationship is today. I don't know what's going on. Maybe you're new to this church thing. Maybe you're still searching for God. But if you are here this morning, chances are that there is in somewhere inside of you this idea that God is probably important and he probably should be up there, whether it's number one, maybe in the top 10, but you think he's somewhere up there. We believe, we worship, maybe you pray, maybe you give, maybe you pray before your meals, maybe you serve. The harder question is, does God have all of me? Because it's possible to give God our lives on Sunday, but keep Monday through Saturday for us. It's possible to offer our finances to God whenever it's convenient, but it's harder to say, God, you got all my finances. It's possible to say, God, you have all my love. But then whenever something comes up and it's time to forgive, we can't make it happen. And that all means, the all means, and it becomes hard. Because without realizing it, we can turn that all word into a negotiation with Jesus. Instead of surrendering all, instead of making him the center of our lives, we begin to negotiate back and forth with what he gets and what we get, what he controls and what we control. Okay, God, my marriage belongs to you, okay? My parenting belongs to you, my career, my money, my sexuality, my ambition, my politics, my entertainment, my private thoughts, and my future all belong to you, everything except you know, until I say something's really important, then that's the thing that's mine. That's the thing I get to decide. Well, God, you're important, but see, I've got this habit. I'm going to try to figure out my own way, and if my own way doesn't work, then I'm going to come to you. And the problem is all didn't mean all to you. But the definition of all never changed for God, and it shouldn't change for us. We can't negotiate away the word all. The places where I most resist God are usually the places where my priorities have gotten out of order. And I need to come back to the Lord and say, Lord, all didn't mean all to me at that moment, and I'm sorry. Help me, Lord. Help me for all to mean all to you. All to Jesus I surrender. All to him I freely give. Worldly pleasures all forsaken. Take me, Jesus. Right? That's what we sing. That's what we pray. And that's what we mean. So maybe we ought to stop asking only whether God is important and start asking whether he has all of us. Is there an area where you said, God, you can have everything but? And we need to give it to him. It's our schedule, our finances, our relationships, ambitions, maybe even our private lives or a habit. Maybe know what God is speaking to you right now through the power of his Holy Spirit working on your life, bringing something to your mind's attention, saying, I don't have this. I don't have this. God didn't just ask us to give something up. Sometimes making him all means reordering the priorities in our life. What we change about our time, if we made God our real priority. What would change about our situation? That's the question that we need to deal with. God, if I make you the priority of my life, what about this moment would change? What about this relationship would change? Maybe today, for you, the answer is I'm going to pick up the phone and call somebody and have a conversation. And maybe some of you, maybe the answer is I'm going to put down my phone and pay attention to somebody in my life. Maybe that's where you're at. Maybe for some of you, for God to have all your heart, you're going to forgive. But changing our priorities doesn't begin by rearranging our calendars. It begins by allowing the Lord to rearrange our hearts. Because the first step of going towards God all in is praying, God, show me the part of me you don't have all the parts of me. Number two, I want you to know that we are called to love people intentionally. Turn to somebody and say, love people intentionally. I want you to know if that person turned to somebody else and not you, they need to come down to the altar after this. Just say, you know, I'm okay actually with God commanding us to love the Lord our God with all of our heart, with our soul, with all of our strength, with all of our mind. I'm okay with that because actually theoretically that's pretty easy. You know, even with the word all in there, because I love God because he's perfect. He has never failed me. He's never let me down. He rescues me. He provides for me. He's my healer. But the person that is my neighbor has not done those things for me. Because if we talk about how much we love God, that's one thing. But then we're going to talk about how much we love others? Are you serious? I mean, I can love my family. I can love my wife. I can love my kids. I can even love the people I work with. You know the people I work with? But the reality is that God is not calling us to love people to love people that we love. He's calling us to love people. Amen. And people are messy. They're hard. They fail us. They're inconvenient, and they interrupt, and they come, and they have competing ideas. And sometimes, and I can't believe this, but they disagree with me. It's ridiculous, isn't it? And I want to love people, but some people are harder to love than others. Please don't look to right and left. Just focus here for a second. Some people are hard to love. But I want you to understand that biblical love isn't about something that we feel. It's about something that we freely give because it was freely given to us. And Jesus is quoting another Old Testament law in the law of Moses in Leviticus chapter 19, verse 18, when he says, "Do not seek revenge or bear a grudge against a fellow Israelite, but love your neighbor as yourself. I am the Lord." See, in context, love doesn't just mean a feeling. God tells his people not to steal, deceive, exploit, gossip, hate, seek revenge, or hold a grudge. But biblical love is just more than what not to do. Biblical love is about what to do. It protects, it serves, it forgives, it gives, it notices, it speaks truth, it seeks another person's good. And that's what God is calling us to do. That's what Jesus commands us to do. It's not just to love God, but to love people. Jesus uses the way we naturally notice our own needs to measure what other people need all around us. Because if you're going to ask me what I need, I can tell you right now, I'm hungry. Pastor, let's go. Give me some food. I got food that you know nothing about, for man cannot live. No, I'm just joking. Listen, we know what we need. We need time. We need food. We need money. We need, you know, we need vacations. We need all these other things. We know this about ourselves. But whenever it comes to other people, it's hard to see what other people need. And Jesus is challenging us. Don't just think about your needs, but look at another person in front of you and think about what they need. And maybe you can meet it. Maybe it's your time to meet their need. See, loving God completely and loving people intentionally are never meant to be two separate commandments. As a matter of fact, I would tell you this, that you might think that loving God is the priority and then loving people is the kind of sidekick addition that Jesus kind of throws in there. But I want you to understand that if you love God completely, then it ought to change how you love people. Yeah. And what Jesus is saying here is, if you love God completely, loving people around you is the clearest expression of your obedience and love for Christ. You can't take one without the other. The Bible says you can't love your neighbor as yourself if you don't know God, because God is love. He that loveth not knows not God, because God is love. 1 John chapter 4. But then we go back over and we say, okay, God, I love you, but it's hard to love my neighbor. Listen, I'm going to tell you something right now, and I don't want this recorded. Jesus probably agrees with you. He's like, I know, I made them. They're hard. But can I tell you something, my friend? I don't want to upset you. I'm not trying to step on your toes. I'm not trying to ruin your day, but you were not easy to love. I am not easy to love. Because Jesus himself said, I loved you before you even knew how to love. He's freely given us love in that he laid down his life for us before we did one thing for him. So friend, you can say that they're hard to love all day. But take a look in the mirror and understand that this is a command, not a divine suggestion. We're called to love. Love your neighbor as yourself. So stop asking only, what do I need? And start asking what other people need. Maybe your spouse needs your undivided attention for a first time in a long time. Maybe you forgot what their eyes look like when they're not illuminated by a screen. Maybe we need to stop thinking about AI so much and start thinking about the great I am more often. Maybe we need to put our attention, our focus, on the people around us, not on the things around us. The things of this world are going to pass away. What is not going to pass away? We're going to find out here in just a few minutes, because God has called us, number three, to love, because that love changes our priorities. Turn to somebody and say, love changes our priorities. We rarely have to force ourselves to make room for the things that we love. I'm going to be honest. Whenever I fell in love with Claudia, I didn't have to try to make room for her in my life. My calendar, forget it. I would fail everything. I will not fail that. She had my time. She had my talent. She had my trust. She had every part of me because I loved her, and I didn't have to work to try to work her in to everything that was going on. I loved her. And so my love for her reordered my priorities in my life. We don't have to work to prioritize the things that we love. Love changes priorities. And our love for Jesus ought to change ours, because Matthew chapter 6, verse 19, Jesus speaks to us about priorities when he says, don't store up treasures here on earth where moths eat them and rust destroys them, and where thieves break in and steal. Store your treasures in heaven where moths and rust cannot destroy and thieves do not break in and steal. And listen to what he says, wherever your treasure is, there the desire of your heart will also be. Our time, our money, our attention, our thoughts, our sacrifices all tell a story of not just who we are, but whose we are. And later in that same chapter, Jesus tells us even more directly. If you missed it there, he tells us more directly. And this is one of my favorite verses in all of Scripture, in Matthew chapter 6, verse 33, when he says, seek the kingdom of God above all else and live righteously, and he will give you everything you need. And there it is again, above all else. I want you to notice something here. In context, Jesus is talking about things like food and clothing and what we drink. Those things are important. Those things matter to our lives. But they're not the most important thing. They're not at the center of who we are. My family, my work, my finances, my health, my future, it all still matters. But none of them belong on the throne in my heart. Amen. That's where Jesus sits. So you better get some stuff that's sitting on that throne and get it out of the way. You know, whenever I have people come over to my house and something is out of order, something's sitting on the couch, we run to that couch and we pick it up and we throw it somewhere else because that's where our guests are going to sit. Can I tell you something? We need to do the same in our life. Jesus is coming. You better get ready. You better get that stuff off the throne in your heart so he can sit on it where he belongs. This takes us back to Matthew chapter 22, whenever we love God completely and others intentionally. Everything else becomes reordered. See, love doesn't just change what matters to us. Love changes what we do with what matters to us. And the thing is that most of the competing priorities in our life aren't bad things in our lives. Nobody ever just goes and says, okay, you know what, there's God, but you know, right now I just want to do something real evil right now. And I'm not saying it doesn't happen. I know it does happen. But usually we say there's God, but then there's all this other good stuff. And slowly but surely, he becomes not the priority. Sometimes it's about not taking things away from our lives, but reordering them to demonstrate the reality that we truly love God, because your priority is loving God with all. Would you stand with me all over this place? You're here today, and maybe all week you've been trying to figure out your schedule. Maybe you've been having some financial issues, marriage issues, family, kid issues, work issues. Man, we just deal with shoes in here. It's tough. And maybe you're like me. At some time, I felt like the world was so oppressive to me. I felt like there was just so much going on that I couldn't even feel like I could stand up. I felt like I was caving in, and I just fell on my knees, and I said, Lord, I feel overwhelmed at all the different things that are against me. I love you, but why does it have to be so hard? Why do I have to deal with all this here and all this there? And I would just list all of the things as if I'm listing a list of my priorities of things that I need to fix or that I'm taking to him to fix. But in that sacred moment, Jesus opened my heart. He poured his love that seemed to heal me from the inside out. And he didn't fix one thing in my life. He fixed me. Whenever he said, you don't have a whole bunch of problems, you have one. You have one problem. You forgot me. And I promise you this, in that moment, I got right with God. In that moment, I reprioritized my life, not by taking out my phone and changing my schedule, not by making all these different commitments or even hearing a list back from God saying, here's how I'm going to take care of all of this. In one moment, in one commitment, everything in my life got better because I said, okay, God, you're right. I don't have 100 problems. I got one problem. I'm going to put you at the center of my life because I'm going to seek you and your kingdom and live righteously. And then all these other things are going to find its right place in the list of all my priorities of my life. I want to pray over you this morning. Heavenly Father, I love you. We love you with all. All the things, all the ways, all the people, all the whatever is in our life, Lord Jesus. We know, God, that it's there and it matters. But Lord Jesus, we put you at the very center of who we are. We commit that to you right now in Jesus' name. Today, I simply want to ask you to do this. I want you to have a conversation with God. Whether you've been a Christian for 10 years, 10 months, 10 days, 10 minutes, or in 10 minutes you're going to become a Christian. I want you to take a moment and talk to God. I want you to ask the Lord, Lord, where in my life did I say all, but I didn't mean all? Would you bring it to my attention so that I can give it to you again? Can I surrender all to you? And whenever the Lord brings that thing to your mind, I don't want you to try to negotiate. I don't want you to try to reason. I just want you to try to freely give it back to Him. And when we do this, it makes us put Jesus at the center. And you might not get one more answer to one more prayer today, tomorrow, or a year from now. But I promise you this, when you put Jesus at the center and you love Him with all, it changes everything about you. So I want to invite you, come down to the altars and make a commitment. Ask the Lord to put that His finger on that thing in your life. Turn around and make an altar at your seat. Take a moment and step out and pray. But wherever you are, whatever you do, or however you respond, as we worship, I want you to pray and ask God to highlight something in your life so that you can give it to Him. Let's just take this moment right now and respond to Him.
The book of Romans chapter 5, verse number 8, Paul says, "But God commendeth His love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. He made us His priority." And now we have been called this morning to make God, our love for God, our priority. And if we love Him with all of our hearts, that love rearranges our personal priorities where we make Him number one. And so Pastor has called us and challenged us today to put God first, to love Him first. And if we love Him first, then everything else falls into line. Don't you love Him this morning? Let's leave this place and go make Him number one in everything that we do. God bless you. Have a great week.